Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mully and Hall.
Fantastic, fantastic show.
Chicago sports talk for your morning.
Oh, man, I really wanted to talk to him.
Appreciate the love, big homie.
We got a great photo of George McCaskey at O'Hare.
We have some video evidence that he was picking up Ryan Poles, the Chiefs executive at O'Hare, walking through the terminal with his letter jacket on.
He's wearing a Bears letter jacket and like a Bears face mask.
Yeah, face guard.
If you're trying to like surreptitiously meet the GM candidate at the airport.
You're not trying to be hidden.
No, you're not. No.
Right?
Not when you're a human billboard.
When you're walking through O'Hare with a Bears jacket, you're willing to be noticed. And
how much do you think that jacket?
Oh, I'm sure he got the family discount.
Yeah, exactly. But that's a really nice Bears jacket.
But can you imagine Ryan Poles? I mean, do you think that they were walking to the car that George drove himself?
That's a good question.
Was it an Uber? Was it a limo?
Don't know.
Was Ted driving?
Culture.
Mike Mulligan and David Hall taking you up to 9 o'clock on 670 The Score.
Okay, let's go.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Well, well, well. No need to change the initials on the official bathrobe of the Chicago Bears.
Morning, Mully. Happy Wednesday.
They got a new GM.
Yeah, they don't have to repaint the parking spot. Everything is in sync. Ryan Poles replaces Ryan Pace.
Yeah. And he's a year younger than Pace was.
36 versus 37. The Bears go back to hiring the late 30s rising NFL executive named Ryan. Great reputation around the league. Great comments from people who have worked with him. Tremendous resume. Boy, this seems familiar. It just does, really, because it's a lot of things you're hearing about Ryan Poles, who got the job yesterday officially, are the same types of things we heard 7 years ago when they hired Ryan Pace out of New Orleans.
Yeah.
And he'll be given the opportunity to hire his head coach. He already did an interview. How about that? They introduce him. They get him to sign the contract. And shake his hand and said, okay, get to work. And he interviewed Jim Caldwell last night.
Yeah.
So he's off and
Jim
running.
Jim Caldwell was in
He was in the building, so he was here. Yeah. So I guess that, you know. But, Mully, if you had said to us 2 weeks ago on this show, the Bears are going to turn to one of their former offensive linemen for help in leading them into the next phase of whatever it is they're going into. Might have thought Thayer. Might have thought Olin. Would not have thought about the undrafted free agent from 2008, Ryan Poles.
Yeah, I don't consider him a Bear. I don't.
I know. I'm just having fun. Come on.
I know. Jeez. I think maybe if he had had, a Thayer or a Olin-style career, he wouldn't be even remotely considered because he wouldn't have gotten the start on his scouting journey and 13 years, all in the same place, but three different general managers. So that's nice.
Yeah, he's worked for a variety of guys, has a variety of leadership he's been exposed to, from Scott Pioli to Brett Veach, who is, you know, he's leaving a championship organization. He's leaving a team that's on the verge of going back to the Super Bowl, hosting their fourth straight AFC championship game in Kansas City. So he comes from a lot of winning, and that's the idea, is to try to duplicate that here in Chicago.
Yeah, you know, I mean, if you look at what they've done there, they've done a great job drafting. They really have. They've drafted very well, and let's hope that he can do that here, because that's going to be a big part of it. And obviously, you got to get up and running. You got to get a head coach. You know, he's already done the one interview. There's two more guys lined up. I think you could have a head coach by the weekend, and then everybody head down to the Senior Bowl and begin that process. You know, they're going to have to really do well with the second round pick, the third round pick, given the fact that they don't have a first round pick, and that makes drafting even a bigger priority, because you don't have the obvious early pick that helps you get the best player. So you got to be able to dig in and get your own stuff. I would imagine the way the hiring cycle works, you know, you hang on to the guys that are here because they've already been doing a lot of that work, and then you'll try to get them kind of up and running on the way that you like to organize it, but their information will fuel this draft.
Yeah, that's the way it typically works. There's a lot of time before the draft. I think right now the pressure on him is to hire the right coach. That's going to be the way that he makes his first big, strong impression. And the three guys that are left that we know of right now, Jim Caldwell, he already interviewed, we mentioned that. Then today, Dan Quinn and Matt Eberflus,
yep,
are interviewing with Ryan Poles in person. And there was one report that suggested that Ryan Poles took the job under the condition that he would be the one who would be naming the next and making the decision on the next head coach. That sounds a little bit bold. Maybe that was conditional, but look, I don't know that he probably put it in those terms. It's going to sound a lot more dramatic probably when we, you know, refer to it that way. He's going to hire somebody that they've already interviewed these guys. So he's not going to ignore, right, Bill Polian's input, McCaskey's input.
He's going to hire one of the three guys. Is that the idea? Does he have other guys? Does he want to restart the process? No, these are their finalists, and they'll let him. You know, it seems like, David, oh, yeah, he's going to make the hire. It's just a way of trying to position him as having more authority than he actually does. He's not the guy that picked the candidates. He's the guy that's going to make the hire out of the final three. Okay. I don't know how much I buy that. Let's put it that way.
Well, he's interviewing three guys that were already there, and the process has begun. So, and everybody wants to point back to how, you know, Ryan Pace was saddled with John Fox, and you know, Ernie Accorsi's choice was the guy that Ryan Pace had to hire. So therefore, he was given a second chance. You know, that's a lot of, you know, revisionist history. That's a lot of things that really don't have a lot of relevance right now. Right now, the point is that, hey, if Ryan Poles is somebody else he wants to add to the list, maybe it makes sense if he's not impressed with any of these three candidates. If he gets a chance to interview these three guys and he's comfortable with that, my guess is he knew who they were talking to.
Right.
And the first interview,
I'm sure.
Yeah, and he came back to interview, and he landed at O'Hare, and he drove in George's car, and he's at House Hall. So he knows what he's getting into. This is not a naive young executive. I'm sure his eyes are wide open. Now, the experience factor, you know, we can have a debate and conversation about that. The Bears tend to, you know, if they were posting their job on Indeed.com, no experience necessary. That's typically the way the Bears have done business.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, because I think if we just picked apart what you said there, there are some inbred sort of contradictions. That's just the way the Bears roll. It's just, they're going to be hiring and empowering, but here's our list, and you can pick the guy, but he's going to pick the guy, but these are the guys he's going to pick from. I'm just saying, I don't think it's a wide open process. I don't think that that you know, they hired him in order to get a coach. I think they were well along the way on that, and I do think that that the future is there's a lot that he has to decide upon. There's a lot that he's got. There's a ton of work to do, and I'll be very curious to see what the combination is with the young general manager. Will it be the older head coach? Does that open up the door even more for a Jim Caldwell? They had their first conversation last night. Be very curious to see who gets hired and how it went and all the rest of it.
Well, if they hire Jim Caldwell, if the Bears make him their next head coach,
yeah,
it will leave the impression, and I'll have a hard time probably getting past it.
It's a Bill Polian production.
That this was, yeah, this was all orchestrated, and Ryan Poles did not have a lot of say. I would hope that, given the excitement level that he could offer coming from Kansas City, given, you know, the fact that he's a bright young executive rising through the ranks, that he would hire somebody that would generate some excitement as well as the head coach. And Dan Quinn makes sense because there is a tangential connection with Ryan Poles, and he's this guy who's had some experience second go around. Still's got a lot of juice. Matt Eberflus is kind of one of the hot defensive coordinators in the mix. Different cycles. Jacksonville's getting, you know, second interviews. Jim Caldwell is the outlier here. The assumption is he's part of this mix only because of Bill Polian's presence, or largely because of that. So if he gets the job, it's going to raise a lot of those same types of questions that we had when Ryan Pace hired John Fox.
And you know, there's nothing wrong with raising all those questions. Listen, you know, we said we'd wait and see. Okay, Ryan Poles sounds great. Let's wait and see. I don't think that there's this kind of I don't know that there's going to be a parade in town, but I don't think anybody's jumping off any buildings or anything. I think it's just we don't know, and we'll have to wait and see. There isn't a track record. There is a guy that comes from an organization that everyone would like to have a piece of, right? And they've drafted very well, and they've done a good job, and we'll see how he can do.
It's a headline. It's a press release. It's a statement. It's a Twitter clip of him saying bear down. Only a fool would be definitive about whether this is a smart move or a dumb move. We just don't know yet. It seems like it's, you know, consistent with the way that they have done business in the past.
Right.
He's got a name around the league and a reputation that they can lean on and point to, but you just don't know until he starts to make decisions what type of job he's going to do.
Again, I think that they want a young executive who's going to be here for a while. I think when you hire a 36-year-old into a position atop the organization, and George is the guy he's going to be reporting to directly, that's his boss, and that's the guy he'll be meeting with, there is this sort of, whether true or not, this perception that there's going to be some sort of mentorship going on, and you're going to allow him to learn on the job, because he is not yet the finished product, because he has yet to do the job. But they went that way before with Ryan Pace. He was a year older, and they said at the time that they were going to let him, you know, do what he had to do and figure out what he was doing, and they gave him 7 years. I'm not saying they're locking into 7 years, but if you hire a 36-year-old for a job that is effectively a CEO of personnel, then you're going to have to give him some time to get up and running and get on his feet and see what he can do.
Yeah, only fair to do that. That's the one thing, though, with the Bears. You know, the process, the way it's played out, has not bothered me to the extent it's bothered some other people. But overall, big picture, I still have this lingering question, which I alluded to earlier. They don't tend to value experience when they're going to search for guys to fill big jobs. And you can go back to Jerry Angelo had never done this before.
Yes.
Phil Emery had never done this before. Yep. Ryan Pace had never done this before. And now Ryan Poles had never done this before. And I don't know what it is, except for
Ted Phillips had never done it before.
Well,
George McCaskey had never done it before. I mean, name anyone in the organization. They seem to have a lot of people that are popping into jobs for the first time.
Yeah, that is. I mean, in the head coaching situation, except for John Fox, they tend to stay away from experience. But I do wonder if it's just, intentional? Is it subconscious? Do they like to? I think, does George like the idea of bringing this young rising executive into the fold and shepherding him and showing him the way to do in the big city and go to picking up at the airport and come on, son, get in the car and I'm going to show you how to lead us to the Super Bowl. That's overstating it, but I do think it's consistent enough to make you wonder, is there something going on here? Why don't they value experience? Why didn't they go out and get somebody who has done this before? That doesn't mean that Ryan Poles isn't going to be a great general manager. I just have this question that I've had from the beginning, that I've had for this decade. I mean, ever since they have started making these decisions. It's just, I think it's something that stands out about the Bears.
I agree with you. And it's, again, we'll see. We'll see. That's, here's hoping that the process of being around all these people and the way, this is a guy who was hired by Phil Emery, right? Didn't Biggs tell us that? So if
he worked with Phil Emery in the Chiefs.
Right. Yeah. So if that's his first boss, then the way that he learned his scouting stuff was, I'm just talking about putting stuff together and who does what, where, et cetera. That comes back to Phil Emery.
I wonder if he likes Kerry Newcomer music.
Yeah, I think he's allowed to have like his own personality and everything. I don't think Phil is creating robots, but it's really an interesting
hire. Phil came to Chicago from the Chiefs as well. He was in the Chiefs front office when he came to the Bears, and now they go back to the well, if you will.
All right. I don't even know what to say about that.
No,
they
go to Kansas City to find their last head football coach, and they went to Kansas City once before to find a general manager, and now they go back to Kansas City to find their next general manager. So it's a very odd preoccupation with Kansas City.
Oh, it's great. Sean Payton stepped away from the Saints. Maybe they should bring him in for an interview. No, he probably needs a year or two away. He's probably not coaching. The passion might not be there right now. But when Jerry Jones calls, maybe that was when the passion
returned. Sounds like he's going to TV. That would be an interesting
segue. It does sound like doesn't it?
Yeah, it does sound like he could
be. There's big money floating around on TV, right? Well, especially if Amazon poaches away Troy Aikman and all the rumors floating around.
Tony Romo gets $1 million a week to sound like a 13-year-old. So I think that there's money in television.
All right, well, we're gonna hit all the big stories of the day. We'll talk about all of it. We'll go over everything in the 5 at 5 next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. 5 at 5 with Mully and Haw starts now.
What is your gut reaction to the Bears hiring the Kansas City Chiefs Executive Director of Player Personnel, Ryan Poles? How much do you believe he had to do with drafting guys like Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, and, oh yeah, Patrick Mahomes? Does the fact that he worked under 3 different general managers work to Poles' advantage?
Well, it differentiates him a little bit. I'll give you that. I mean, it's a little bit different. My reaction is, boy, I hope this guy is good. That's my reaction. I don't know that we can sit here and make a value judgment on a young executive until you see him in action, until you see what his ideas are. I'd be very curious to have a conversation with him and find out exactly that. Like, what is it? Like, what is your philosophy on the game? What are you looking for in terms of players? What are the elements that you value most? And I think that I think it would be unfair and just flat out wrong to make a value judgment on whether the guy is going to be a success or not until we get a chance to learn him and to know about him. And I think the danger always is going to be applying past ideas to a current candidate or a current general manager. He's gotten the job now. So I think that for me, the fight I'm having is just to not – I want to view him as the guy that he is and the experiences he's had and what he's going to do and not the people that he is associated with now and their past issues and problems and failures. So I want to just try to keep him front and center and study his life and think about what he's going to do as opposed to, you know, seeing him in relation to the people around him.
Yeah, my gut reaction is, you know, here are the Bears. They made history. They hired a black general manager, and that's the first time they've ever done that. So they made history, and yet simultaneously they followed a pattern. They followed a pattern that we alluded to earlier in hiring somebody without experience. So on one side of the ledger, you're very proud of the organization for what they did and the commitment to diversity and all those things that we sensed were going to happen in this search with the head coach and the general manager. And on the other, you have a little bit of trepidation only because of, you know, they followed a pattern in hiring somebody who has not done this before. So then you look at the cues and you talk to people around the league. And as we said earlier, you hear a lot of the same things you heard about Ryan Pace. You heard a lot about, you know, in terms of he's got emotional maturity. He's got high intellect. He's a good football evaluator. He's a great communicator. He was a communications major at Boston College. So he brings to the Bears many of the same qualities that Ryan Pace brought, but he does not bring experience. And that would concern anybody who's being objective here. We're going to give him a chance. He's going to win the press conference. I have no doubt about that, because this is somebody who apparently wowed and dazzled everybody in the room via Zoom and then in person when he interviewed with them. So this is definitely a strong, clear communicator, which is what the Bears need. The fact that he comes from Kansas City, I don't know what his role was in the draft room, or hey, that Mahomes guy is pretty good. You should see this quarterback I saw down in Texas. I don't sense it's something like that. Or Kelsey or Tyreek Hill. I do wonder about what specifically he did for the Chiefs. The fact that he worked for three different executives is in his favor. We talked about Morocco Brown coming from Washington and then Cleveland and the Colts and why that would benefit him if he were to work with the Bears. I think the same thing applies to Ryan Poles. So there's a lot to get excited about. There's some things to be cynical about. And yet I think it's fair to wait to see how he begins to make the big decisions that are in front of him.
I think it's really important, and this might surprise people who listen to the show, to keep an open mind at this very moment.
Right.
I think that's important. And the number one thing that we're all waiting on now, and my immediate reaction was, all right, like, that's off the table. Who's the head coach? Within seconds of seeing, I didn't think about Ryan Poles. I thought about, are the Bears going to force somebody down Ryan Poles' throat? Are they going to demand? Now, if the reports are that part of this is that he gets to pick, okay? There's another – Matt Spiegel was reporting this yesterday. I found this very interesting. I don't know if you guys heard this. But this is very interesting to me. That the Bears allowed these last couple of finalists on both sides of the GM head coach to intermix and talk to each other, knowing that they were all under consideration for this job. So, was Jim Caldwell in the building just by chance, or did Jim Caldwell and Ryan Poles have a conversation, you know, text, Zoom, self, whatever? Did they have that conversation and he wanted to talk to him? We don't know that. That's something we don't know. But I find that extremely interesting, if true. I've never heard of that before. I find that extremely interesting. It cannot hurt that he's worked for three different general managers. We've all worked with lots of different people in all of our roles. You take some of the good and you take some of the bad. We joke around. I used to work for ManCow for 2.5 years. There was a lot of bad, but there was some good. Like, there was some good that I feel like I've brought with me here to this job.
What was it?
What was it?
Yeah, just give me one thing. Just curious.
I don't want to give up my secrets right now on the air. Come on, there's a lot of people listening. I do that at the Illinois Media School all the time. But no, in all seriousness, like, I think that's a good thing. It's now all about the head coach. And another weird thing is, you guys talk about the draft picks and how important the draft is. That's his number one thing after the hiring of the head coach is the roster and the draft. Could it be possible that, like, this takes them not having a first round pick this year almost takes a little bit off the guy's plate? Like, right, we're not going to be able to pounce on did he make the right pick right off the bat. He had to have something to do with Patrick Mahomes, I guess, but it almost sounds like the Chiefs stumbled upon him. They were down there evaluating an offensive lineman, and they said, wow, look at this talent. And the guy went back to the room and said, "Yeah, that's the story, right?"
Well, and the fact is that there were a certain number of head coaches, supposedly, that knew how good Mahomes was. That they just weren't in a position to
in the league.
I look at that as an Andy Reid deal, though. I mean, and if Andy Reid is fixated on moving up in the draft to get a quarterback that he has deemed worthy of stardom, then I think that's what you do as an organization.
Who's the current GM, Veach? That guy claims that he was the guy. I
mean, he was the guy scouting a Texas Tech offensive lineman.
Right.
And when he was at these practices,
and he saw
games,
this and said, "Oh my God!"
Went back and said,
"Right." And I'm sure what David said is accurate. I mean, Andy Reid looks at that and is like, "Okay, I can play with that."
But the point is that somebody I think had to point that out to Andy Reid. Now Andy Reid knew what he was looking at once he saw it. But I don't know that Andy Reid was watching tape on Patrick Mahomes while he was leading the Kansas City Chiefs.
No, it was
somebody else's job to bring, hey, here's a taste of ice cream. Do you like this flavor? There's all these seltzers out there now. There's like 97 seltzers. Which one do you like?
I think Andy Reid's more of a cake guy than ice cream, isn't he? Didn't he say that?
Hamburgers?
Cheeseburger-flavored ice cream.
No.
I'm sure it's out there.
That was one of the best questions you've ever asked.
Is it fair to wonder if new Bears general manager Ryan Poles has a little too much in common with old Bears GM Ryan Pace? Aside from their first names and initials, does their youth work against them? Pace was 37 with experience on an NFL team when the Bears picked him as GM. Poles is 36. What did owner George McCaskey learn in 7 years with Pace that will speed up Poles' progress?
Well, it's probably a little unfair, but it's inevitable. Ryan Pace, Ryan Poles, 36, 37. There's too many commonalities. There's too many things that they share when they're taking over the big new job for the first time to ignore. So it's inevitable that's going to happen. What has George learned since 2015? Well, they restructured the hierarchy at Hallis Hall. Maybe that's one sign of it, because if they had done that in 2015, Chris Ballard would be your general manager, and Ryan Pace would have finished second. I think we can all agree on that when Chris Ballard made it clear that he was not comfortable reporting to Ted Phillips, probably because of his previous experience in the organization, that was a non-starter for the Bears and they went a different direction. That's changed. So maybe that's what he's learned, and that's the most significant thing. You know, as for the other thing in terms of, you know, the whole combination here, the one thing that I am curious about, and Dustin, your point about the not having a first-round draft pick this year is an excellent one. But I also think about, I didn't ever really understand the way Ryan Pace viewed football. You know, Olin talks about that all the time. You got all these quarterbacks in a room, and you have a head coach who's a quarterback, and they see things the way that was their vision for the Bears. And I never really got a good sense of the way Ryan Pace viewed football. He was a former defensive end at Eastern Illinois. Ryan Poles was a left tackle and a left guard at Boston College. He was an undrafted free agent with the Bears. They got cut at training camp, but he is an offensive lineman. And I do wonder about what that view of the world, the football world, will do to the way that he structures his roster and the way that he formulates his priorities. And I think that will help you determine what the identity of your football team is going to be.
Yeah, you know, I think that's a big deal, too. I agree with what you're saying about Ryan Pace. Here's the thing. He viewed the draft as his time to go get one player. He viewed the draft kind of through a straw. You see one player, and then you stare down that one guy, and you do whatever you have to do to get the guy. And as a result, he gave away a lot of draft picks. He didn't value drafting and Moss, the numbers, he valued the specific player. And I've always felt that was wrong. I've always felt that way because that's not, I don't know that that works. And it certainly didn't work for him. You can't believe that one guy is better than whatever you want to call it, the cloud of guys at a particular spot. And you've got to be patient enough to be able to take what comes to you rather than constantly. And he did. He constantly moved up, and he hadn't always identified the right guy. So there is an element of, you know, you like the idea that somebody is willing to be aggressive if they fall in love with a player. But I think it's what you learned as you watched his drafts is that he often fell in love with the wrong player, sadly. So I think I'm really curious just to see what would happen with looking at the game a little bit differently. And, you know, you say that he's under no pressure because he doesn't have a first-round draft pick. And I know we evaluate the first-round draft picks, but that makes it essential to be right in the second round and to be right in the third round and to be able to add players later in the draft. You know, they don't have enough firepower to improve the team they have. If you look at the last couple of years, Kansas City's done very well in the draft. So whatever they're doing, you know, more of that. And if you can find a lineman or two, as they did, didn't they draft the center? And didn't they? You look at some of their picks; they're pretty good. So hopefully he knows that element of the game, the draft element, because it's just essential to build a team, and you just can't go out and throw money at free agents.
So in the spirit of the question, yes, it is fair to wonder if there is a connection and a lot in common between these guys. The different Ryan Pace never tried out for an NFL team, the best of my knowledge, right? He wasn't even a camp edge rusher or whatever it was that he did. So he's a little bit ahead of him that way. Boston College, Eastern Illinois football, Boston College, better quality overall of play, even though Eastern has produced some nice products that have played in the NFL. So no offense to the EIU people out there. That's not the point. It's just Boston College is better than EIU at football, period.
Better linemen.
Yes, better linemen. You know, the part about does George McCaffrey, if we are to believe George, which I understand some people don't want to believe him and some people do want to believe him, was he paying attention to what Ryan was doing? Like, I know Ryan Pace was there for 7 years, and we all agree that Ryan Pace did a good job having a really solid relationship. It seems like a personal relationship with the McCaskies, specifically probably George. But was George really evaluating him for the last 7 years? I don't think he was. I really think George, to a fault, and where we can point a finger, is that he was not paying enough attention, wasn't asking the right questions. While Ryan Pace wasn't making the right draft picks, the owner, the chairman, wasn't asking the right questions of what was failing the team. The other thing I want to say really quick about the hire is we did talk about it. It made a lot of sense. Like, Bill Polian's buddies. Are we going to see the Bears? This is not a Bill Polian buddy, to the best of my knowledge. I'm sure there's a connection, you know, but it might be six people removed till we actually get to the actual connection. So I think we should feel pretty good about that as well, that this is not a, as you know, air quotes, old boy network, I think is how he would say it. Like, this is a guy who's worked his way up, is in a position, and this is where general managers come from. General managers come from director of player personnel. That's the department. That's the next step up. Did we want a general manager that failed the same way Ryan Pace has failed to come in and replace a failed Ryan Pace?
Depends who it was. I mean, Rick
and there's
Smith,
the other thing about him is
Rick Spielman. I mean, those are guys who are qualified.
But well, I also like the fact that he was a finalist with the Vikings. He was a finalist with the Giants, like other teams that are in similar position. So they were looking at this guy well, and they thought enough of him to say, hey, we are not letting you get in the Uber that the Wolves have provided. That's a joke. To leave Chicago and head up to Minneapolis.
Oh, boy. Good question.
What are your thoughts on seeing Sean Payton step away from the New Orleans Saints on Tuesday? After producing a 152-89 record in 15 seasons, is he headed for the TV booth? How quickly will he be on another team's sidelines, the 2022 season, the 2023 season, or will he never return? How quickly before Jerry Jones hears bells and starts calling to find out?
Yeah, you know, I think that Jerry Jones, you know, I think that would be a big upgrade and he's been there before, so there is a previous relationship. He was there with Parcells. You would think that Jerry Jones eventually might make that move. I think Sean Payton is going to take a year off, and I think that he's eyeballing TV, etc. I think he's looked around the league. I think he had a rough season, went through four different quarterbacks, and I think he understands that if you take that year or two, then you can buy more years on the back end. I think he was done struggling in New Orleans, and he sees a chance to kind of get that respite. We've seen it happen with tons of different coaches. I think he's definitely coming back. I don't know that it's this year or next year, but I think it's going to be within what he's signed through 2024. So I think he will be back on the sidelines before 2024, and I think that there'll be some draft pick compensation for him. You know, if Bruce Arians got a sixth-round pick after he retired to go to Tampa, I think that this will probably be maybe a fourth-round pick, maybe a third-round pick. That's about it.
Yeah, he's got 3 years left on his deal, so next year he would still have two, so that would be – that would be some compensation you'd have to cough up in terms of draft picks. Makes sense. And I do think he sounded like a guy who was reflecting, reminiscing, and ready for a respite, to walk away, go to a beach for a while again, take the offseason off, get back in the booth, you know, stay in the game kind of indirectly, and then dive right back in. A year from now, we're going to be talking about Sean Payton's potential homes. What teams have fired their coach to pursue Sean Payton. I wonder how many interim coaches are really out there in reality. Interim coach Mike McCarthy of the Cowboys. Look, if the Bears hire Jim Caldwell and they go 5-12, are you going to tell me that we're not going to be speculating about Sean Payton's availability a year from now? Of course we are. That's what happens when you have somebody of that caliber out there available as a coaching free agent. So, sounds like he's not coming back this year to anywhere, and that would be too expensive probably to give up in terms of draft capital. But he is going to come back soon, and let's hope he does, because he's a terrific coach.
Does your youth hockey team want to play in front of thousands at the Allstate Arena? We'll make it happen with the Chicago Wolves Youth Hockey Program. Presented by Kia. Visit chicagowolves.com/youth hockey to learn more. We are Chicago. We are hockey. We are the Wolves. I think Sean Payton would be really good on television. I like Troy Aikman a lot, too. So if Troy is headed to Amazon, I like the idea of Sean Payton being the lead guy at 3:25 on Sundays. I'm fine with that. I can totally understand the connecting of the dots to the Dallas Cowboys. You know, Jerry Jones said, you know, there's nobody out there that's not under contract that would be better than the people that I have in this building. Everybody in the building that I have or people that I want are under the contract. Whatever he said on our affiliate down in Dallas, that was my best Jerry Jones.
You sounded a little like Brian Kelly.
Little Brian Kelly. Go Tigers.
Brian Kelly trying to be Cajun.
Go Tigers. Good for Sean Payton. Good for Sean Payton to be able to walk away from $10 million in order to probably make $10 million from one of the TV networks. Good for him.
It's an excellent question.
Let's apply an old Rex Grossman question to Jimmy Garoppolo. Are the San Francisco 49ers in the NFC Championship game because of Jimmy Generous or in spite of him? How do you explain his 3-0 playoff record when he doesn't throw a touchdown pass? Should he avoid throwing the ball at all on Sunday in L.A.?
In a perfect world, they run the ball 3 out of 4 times. And they're 70-30 run to pass. They are there not necessarily in spite of Jimmy G. I can understand why people would say that. They're there with him. He's a passenger, not the driver. He's a lot like Rex Grossman was in 2006. Although, you know, as much of a Rex guy as you know that I was, I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo is more accomplished. You look at his record as a starter, and he has earned more respect than that. So I think he can be a guy that just has to take care of the football. That's what makes you concerned about the game manager aspect of what Jimmy Garoppolo now does. Jimmy Generous is a great nickname Ray tagged him with because of his tendency to throw dumb interceptions at key times. You can't have that happen in the fourth quarter against the Rams. And so in a perfect world, they run the ball to get the lead. They throw just enough to be dangerous. They get Deebo Samuel involved to the extent that they're a dangerous offense and have that explosiveness. But he has to throw only when needed, only when necessary. And they have to try to win Sunday with Jimmy Garoppolo, but almost in spite of him, because he has not shown this postseason that he can be trusted when you have a lead, even though they are where they are because of their defense in the running game.
Yeah, you know, I think that it is despite, not because. And I think as a result, there is going to be a feeling that that you can move on from him without great concern, that Trey Lance will come in and add an element to their run game and they can win in spite, not because of Trey Lance. So I think that the Niners are kind of set up to be pretty good if they can, you know, clear out all that money and operate under a rookie quarterback's salary cap. And you know, they're a very interesting team because of the way that they've won. The problem with Jimmy isn't that he's Jimmy Generous. The problem with Jimmy is availability. And he just, if you look at it, they win games where he starts because he can fit into the formula of exactly what they want to do. And, you know, I get it. He's not going to make these huge plays, and there is going to be this, you know, Ray nicknamed him Jimmy Generous for a reason. Let's put it that way. There are times when it looks like he's desperate to give the ball away, throw the ball, you know, haphazardly into the flat. I mean, there were a couple of times in that game where you never thought that, oh my God, oh, and then he'd somehow get a completion. It is in spite of, not because of. Yet there is a certain kind of connectability that works for that team when he is their starter. His record is pretty damn good.
I won't take up a whole lot of time because we still have one more question. I mean, it's in spite of, okay? And that's not even my little grudge because he ignored me when I tried to book him on the radio show.
You have a lot of spite.
Yes, I do. Okay. It's in spite of. I'm wondering if the 49ers get cute or are smart this weekend and if we see a Trey Lance package.
We haven't yet.
No, I know. but maybe that's why, because they haven't had to yet. I just, listen, if you're the Rams, you're putting eight guys in the box and you're saying, go ahead, Generous. Let's see what you got. Okay, let's go. Now, to be fair, his thumb was all kinds of not right.
Yes.
His thumb was all
kinds
of.
His shoulders bad.
Right. His thumb was all kinds of not right up in Green Bay, and the cold didn't help. So I'll give him that. But he is not, if the 49ers get down 10 points, they are not coming back.
Terrific question. Need to get that answered. Don't have it for you today.
How do you explain David Ortiz becoming the only new member of the Baseball Hall of Fame? Is it a failure or victory that both Barry Bonds, who got 66% of the vote, and Roger Clemens, who received 65.2%, did not get elected in their last year of the ballot? If you believe that baseball knew and silently approved of the steroid era, why would you take current Commissioner Rob Manfred's endorsement of Ortiz?
Well, I think that's why Ortiz got in. I think the Rob Manfred endorsement is what helped him. And I think that I don't know that I would trust Rob Manfred's endorsement, frankly. I mean, what's really richly ironic about this whole thing is that Ortiz, among the three guys we're talking about, is the only one that actually tested positive. And everyone's willing to throw out that test because Manfred told them to. Oh, well, there may have been some tomfoolery. Some of those tests weren't. I wouldn't believe a word Rob Manfred says. And I think people need to go back and read some of the testimony that he was forced to give during that A-Rod thing. And you get a real sense of you know, how clever the guy is and how he's setting things up. Apparently, you know, Bud Selig wanted to ban A-Rod for life, and he was talked off the shelf on that one by the current commissioner of baseball, who spent a lot of years in the guy's ear and knew. I mean, he's the same part of the same problem. And you hear people say all the time, well, you know, Bud Selig got into the Hall of Fame. why shouldn't the other guys get in? He didn't get in with over the ballot. He didn't get in with, well, he got in through the committee, right? So it's a little bit different, in my opinion. I think that I think I don't trust Rob Manfred as far as I could throw him on matters of steroid era stuff. And I think if you're making a stance that no steroid era guys get in, and then you put David Ortiz as a first ballot Hall of Famer, then you're just contradicting yourself. And you're doing it because the commissioner effectively told you to. So they have no policy on anything regarding steroids. But he says, you know what? Ortiz is okay. It's good for baseball if he gets in. And everybody just says, bah, and goes along with it.
Yep, that's me. You're pointing the finger right at me. Because I contradicted myself. I voted for Ortiz. I did not vote for the other guys. I did trust Rob Manfred. His exoneration of David Ortiz. I read the testimony. I did all those things. And I felt like because he did not flunk a drug test after they toughened the policy in 2004, that the 541 home runs did speak for themselves. I understand the skepticism. Rob Manfred's a tough guy to trust or endorse. He is a baseball commissioner. But the Baseball Hall of Fame has a problem. When you are inducting just one player from a class that has all these different contradictions and controversies, you've got a problem. And baseball's image problem, you know, the Hall of Fame is different from MLB, but they can be in concert in trying to address this and trying to give voters who are now being roundly criticized and, you know, having fingers pointed at them and contradictions, you know, give them some advice, give them some direction, tell them what to do in terms of how to treat these steroid era cheats and how to, you know, involve the, just include that as part of the conversation and accept the fact that, you know, Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens, they did bend the rules, and it's hard to imagine them not doing that. And even though they were Hall of Famers before they may have started, there's still an integrity that you have to try to uphold. And it's a good debate, and it's going to keep on going until they tell people how to vote and what guidelines to follow. There are no directions, and everybody can interpret it individually for themselves, and that is the way that they're told to do right now. So because baseball is not helping out this problem, so it's going to persist.
Isn't it over? It's over because those guys are off the ballot. So now it won't be this front.
Alex Rodriguez is still on the ballot.
34.5%.
Yeah, but you know, but he's still there. Gary Sheffield. People are going to look at the numbers like they look at Bonds and the like. They look at Roger Clemens. They're going to look at A-Rod. A-Rod, if you want to, you know, have this conversation, he's as gifted as any player of this generation. You look at his numbers, and they are eye-popping. He's not getting in. He's not getting in unless they change the criteria, unless they give people direction, unless they get more lax in the way that they want us to approach the voting process.
I'll be quick. If David Ortiz had done what he did numbers-wise, forget about World Series and playoff, numbers-wise, in Minnesota and then retired, David Ortiz would not be in the Hall of Fame. It's part of the Boston thing. It's the impact he had on that city. He was, you know, he's a fun guy. He's got a great smile, great attitude, does a great job on Fox. All those things, I believe, have helped contribute him. But he's a good guy. Like, he just did it because everybody was doing it. But he's a good guy, so I'm willing to look past it. Now, me personally, I'm not okay with it, but I get it. Like, if I had a vote, I would vote for Roger Clemens. I would vote for Barry Bonds. Right. But I don't have a vote. And to David's point, is it a museum? Is it the history of baseball?
Right.
What exactly is the Hall of Fame?
And if Rob Manfred had not given his stamp of approval to Ortiz, there's no way he gets in. Right? So if he uses that efficacy for A-Rod, does A-Rod get in eventually? And if they're still
young... Well,
the
facts are different with A-Rod.
But they're still... he was actually suspended. I'm saying there's still a lot of young guys that are coming into the vote, and there are people that want to vote A-Rod in. I'm just wondering if that eventually... If Major League Baseball changes its mind and says, you know what, we should let A-Rod awful good. We should let him in. Would you then change your vote?
Well,
would
everyone change their Hall vote? Of Fame advises voters to ignore that those kinds of things, then people are going to have a different approach to the voting process. I know that's the way people feel about. They just want them to tell voters how to. Right now, the criteria involves the types of things that are keeping these guys out.
Right.
And if that changes, then it's a different. Then it's a different conversation.
Comes down to the commissioner. He can let in whoever he wants. Apparently, my opinion. 312-644-6767. Molly and Hall on the score.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.